Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
How are you feeling?
Not well, bitch. How are you feeling?
Not well. I'm sad as fuck.
Because the cruise is over or because the hospitalization?
Both.
Okay.
Emo's not dead.
Mm.
But we are.
Emo's not dead, but we are.
Welcome to Disrespectfully.
With Katie Maloney.
And Dana Cathan.
Unapologetically.
We're here to do what we want to do.
Spilling the tea.
Babe, you're going to see the power of women. Like, disrespectfully.
You know, people are like, and actually someone said this to us on the cruise. They were like, you guys look like sisters. And we were like, remember when we were checking in?
I thought they were joking.
No, I was like, well, and I look nothing like my sister, but it's like how when owners of pets start to look like their pets, you and I obviously are spending so much time together. We're becoming the same person because we were in the same hospital ER 24 hours apart.
Yeah, Dana and I both visited the emergency room this weekend, believe it or not.
We sure did.
On two separate occasions.
Who wants to go first? Would you like to share first? Will I have some throat coat?
Oh, okay, I'll share. So, well, basically last week while we were on the cruise, I was having like some abdominal pains. And I thought it was just because, you know, I'm just a girl.
You're just a girl.
I'm just a girl. And that happens. Sometimes we have cute stomach pains. And so I just kind of like dealt with it. And it kind of like went away a little bit for the most part. I don't know.
You were a trooper about it. And it was, yeah, it was an ebb and a flow. Like there was one night it was really bad and then you could like kind of get through it.
Yeah. And like, listen, we deal with period cramps. And so like this just kind of felt like nothing compared to that. But then on Friday when we docked and we went to that spa and I was having like those really bad body aches and mm-hmm. then it turned into like full on flu symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this now feels like it's something else. And then it went through Saturday and then Sunday I felt pretty good. But then last night, so Sunday night, the chills and the fever and the sweats came back and that stomach pain came back. I was like, what if I'm ignoring like a bigger picture? So then I started Googling, which is like, you know, exactly what you should do.
Correct.
And it was like, you know, stomach cancer and appendicitis and all these things. But I was like, I have like a lot of stuff coming up and like, I don't, last thing I wanted to do is become like a real dire, like real emergency situation. Like may as well just go to urgent care just to see, peace of mind, go to urgent care. Explain my symptoms, like go to the emergency room. I'm like, okay.
Tight.
Because like in case they need to do imaging, I'm like, okay, I get it. They give me a list and I was like, oh, Providence, that's where Dana went last night. As if it was like a restaurant. As if I was able to pick out a recommendation for a restaurant. So I go there, dealt with security. They had like a metal detector because this is LA.
And, oh, if I was giving them ratings, they'd get 4 stars because of the security guard when I thought I was having anaphylactic shock. And they were like, well, we still need to see your purse. Please walk through the thing and come back. And I'm like, can we do this in a minute so I can talk to someone?
They searched me. But I liked it. They had a good like system set up. You know, you go to one window.
Oh, I felt
very
safe when I was in there.
Yeah, but just like the whole system. So then, you know, I go in one room, answer all the questions. Then I go another, pee in a cup. But then I was like, do I leave in the bathroom? I'm like, no. I'm like, so I keep it on my person.
So you were just holding your urine?
Well, I had to wait till for the blood person to come.
Did they make you hold your own blood too?
Yes.
Did you ask them to make me a necklace like a la MGK?
They made me draw my own blood too. No. No, but it's like just sat there with my urine in my lap.
I did that a few weekends ago too, but just for a different reason. No, I'm kidding. It didn't happen.
I don't want to know. Drew my blood. Feed my cup. And then I went and sat in the waiting room for like an hour until they called me back again. And then like, you don't know what's happening. And then they're like, okay, come with me. We're going to put you in room 28. You're like, am I spending the night? Like, what's happening? Like, they don't really tell you. Give you a little robe. I already have my bracelet on. They give you that immediately.
Très chic. Yeah, they're really efficient with the bracelet. They give you the right on.
They give you the bracelet right away when you walk in. And so then I lay down and they come in and they told me my results and they're like, okay, so basically you have a really bad bladder infection. I was like, hold on. I'm going to object to that because I'm a frequent flyer of Air UTI. I would know if I had a bladder infection. Like within an instant, I can feel those symptoms and I'm on that shit. Like I have not felt a single symptom.
you're like, I'm comfortable using legal jargon and everyday words. I object. And also, to be fair, same. You and I are definitely the UTI queens. I had chronic issues with UTIs, and I think most of our audience is female, and so I'm sure a lot of women out there relate to this as well. Like, you know what the business is.
Oh my
God.
You
can advocate for yourself. I literally, a gust of wind, and I'm like, yep, a UTI is coming.
Yeah, no one, I can predict it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll dream about it the night before.
Like, there's a 30% chance that I'm going to get a UTI.
Yep. So I was just like, that's so weird. They're like, well, this guy was like, all UTIs are different. I was like, not mine,
this
sir.
This guy?
Not mine. I'm like, well, I believe that could be medically accurate. I might have been consistently the same. That's why I'm able to know exactly what's happening. I'm able to self-diagnose every damn time. And that's when I do my telehealth. And that's when they send me a prescription and I'm done, you know, in like 4 days. But like this one apparently just went unnoticed and then spread to my kidney. And now that's why I'm having all these like abdominal pains. And then they swab me for like any kind of like all the viral stuff, COVID, influenza, flu, all of that as well. Just, you know, they're like, well, you were on a cruise. So like, that's just like a petri dish for like illness and disease.
You're like, you don't got to tell me.
I was like,
that's
what I said. I was like, I was on a cruise. So I just figured like, I just like was exposed to like every disease possible.
Typhoid.
Tuberculosis. I mean, I already walked in after my Google search, assuming I was dying. I'm like, the pain, the sweating, the chills. I'm like, it's the plague. I know it is.
Yeah, you typed your symptoms and they're like, Victorian child about to die.
Just like fetal position shaking. That was me. So I was like, all right, this seems manageable, I guess, because it's just like most of my pain was in my right flank.
The flank.
Yeah, so they hooked me up to an IV with some meds and some antibiotics and some fluids, and I laid there and watched the Food Network channel until about 1 a.m., and then they sent me on my merry way, and now I have some serious pain meds and antibiotics for 2 weeks.
Mm.
It's just, you know, pain, discomfort, and, you know, I'm hoping, like, the other symptoms go away. I woke up this morning sweating. I got out of my bed, and there was just, like... just an outline of sweat.
I also woke up when we were texting last night, when you told me this information, woke up in a cold sweat.
Yeah.
Real, real fun stuff.
The guy was like, I forgot what he said. He said something to me and I'm like, well, I'm a woman. Meaning something about pain management or something. And he's like, oh. And I was like,
oh yeah, we're out here getting IUDs inserted in us with not even lidocaine. Like, we're just told to suck it up.
Basically, I was trying to explain to him I have a high pain tolerance. So like, a lot of things go unchecked or unnoticed half the time. Like, it's not unheard of that I have 800 things going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like,
yeah,
especially when you're on your period. I mean, you can have like tummy problems, cramps, vomiting, all these things happening at once. But we're just girls.
We're just girls. I mean, I also, again, have all those symptoms when I'm dating in my normal life the other 3 weeks of the month, I would say. You and I talk about this all the time. We spend a week out of every month
normal,
feeling that way, feeling normal. And then we get the pre, the post, the during.
Yeah, we get 1 week a month just of bliss, and then the rest of it's shit.
We're just girls, and someone's usually ruining our life during that week, so, you know.
Yeah.
So I was hospitalized in 2020 for a kidney infection. I was telling you this. So this was December of 2020, so it was like peak coming. There was a huge surge, so the hospital was way different. I had to sit outside for like an hour and a half, and it was December. It was freezing, and I didn't bring the right coat. So all I have to say to that is I completely understand. That is so painful. That's the one and only time I've ever had morphine. We're like, I drink a ton of water, and they were like, you're so unbelievably dehydrated. And it was the same thing. Like, it just built up and led to that. I did watch Drive Me Crazy. I remember that. They had that on in the hospital, and I was like, this is lit. Oh, and then it was the night before I got LASIK, and I got LASIK the next day, and the antibiotics they gave me, that's how I found out I was allergic to cephalexin. So I had an allergic reaction right before LASIK. It was a blast.
Sick. Now I can't drink for 2 weeks.
I feel like I don't want to.
Well, I was like, you know, I do need to dry out, but I do a Percocet, so hey.
Do you know what is?
Hey.
Do you know what's such a bummer about that?
Kidding.
I can't. I like. I'm jealous because if you need it for pain, I throw up. Narcotics make me throw up, so I literally cannot have them. So after like my nose job, I had a broken nose. Tylenol.
Well, I have the stuff that makes you not nauseous.
Well, we had an extraordinary week, but we both had a really rough go at it coming back to land. We're on the plane and we were in Mint, treated ourselves. We had the Lay Flats.
Couldn't even enjoy it.
Couldn't even enjoy it. Katie is laid out, passed out, unconscious.
I'm face down.
Unconscious. To the point that I was like, do we need to check her breathing? Where's the defibrillator?
My face was in the pillow.
And those are gifted to you by the plane. So it's if you weren't going to get influenza or typhoid before, you sure were on that flight. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm so hot right now. And not like, oh, Hansel, he's so hot right now. Like temperature wise, I'm like looking like a mouse and gremlin, all of the above. And I'm really hot. So I go to the bathroom. And I look in the mirror and my cheeks are swollen. My ears are swollen. They're bright red. I have hives all over my shoulders and my chest, which this happened to me a few years ago. And I still don't know what it was from. Perhaps I should figure it out. I noticed I had started coughing a lot and then wheezing. And I remembered that's because it's like your throat is so irritated and it shrinks up. And so I came out of the bathroom and I sounded bad. Like when I spoke to the flight attendant, I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like, I'm so sorry. We have 2 hours left in this flight. I'm actually having an allergic reaction. Does anyone have Benadryl? There was no Benadryl on that plane. They like went around asking people. I was actually really surprised to hear that because you'd think just for in case of emergency, they would keep it.
An EpiPen?
But perhaps? Luckily, the flight attendant had, she had like a severe peanut allergy. So she had prescription level Benadryl or whatever it is. So she gave it to me and I'm like, sure, I'll take your random prescription. You seem trustworthy. She seemed really cool. So I was like, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have a good time anyway. And she's like, I might knock you out. And I was like, that's preferred. Slept on the back end and my hives were a lot better when we landed, but I was still like a little wheezy. In addition to that, my gorgeous, hot, amazing, wonderful sister was coming into town for her birthday. And she was already had this trip planned with her best friend, Lisa, who I'm also very close with. And when we had planned to do the cruise and realized there was a conflict, we thought we'd be able to get an earlier flight back. So it was going to match up. So they got into town like, you know, 5 hours before us. And I was like, okay, I really need to make tomorrow count because I have such little time with them. So we go to brunch. We're celebrating my sister's birthday. We're, you know, making her feel special. And then we go out. I'm super excited about the night. We're going to go to a bar that you and I both love and dance the night away. And we're like getting ready for the night. And I'm like coughing again. And then I looked at my throat and I had a rash all over my throat. And I was like, not great, but I'm just going to put some concealer on it. I'm just a girl. So I put concealer on it. I'm like beauty blending the fuck out of it. And then we're in the car on the way to dinner and I stopped speaking because it felt like there was an elephant on my chest on top of a forest fire. As we can tell from this podcast, I never shut the fuck up. So it's like a deeply obvious thing when I'm not talking. And like Raleigh turned around the car and was like, what? Why are you so quiet? And I was just like, it's just not feeling great. Let's get some martinis in me and see how it goes. We get to the restaurant and like 3/4 of the way through the dinner, I was like wheezing to myself. And I was like, I'm having a little trouble breathing, but my sister's having her birthday thing and whatever. And I completely stopped talking. And then it became like the joke of the dinner. I was like making hand gestures for like, I agree.
Miming.
Lisa was like, where's the bathroom? And I was like, flight attendant. Anyway, so I just decided I was like texting with Lisa and Raleigh because I didn't want my sister to know because she was like all worried and freaked out. And I was like, this is your night. Raleigh will take you out. Raleigh was like, I'm going to come with you to the hospital, get you settled in and then come back and meet them. So same thing, went through the metal detectors. I felt like I was going to see Beyonce in concert. They like basically patted me down. By the way, let me paint the picture. I was dressed so slutty because I planned on going dancing and doing my normal thing. So like I had cute jeans on with heels and a crop top that barely buttons just like from the front. It's, I mean, adorable shirt, but it's a weird feeling being in the emergency room with people in sweats and covered in blankets.
Well, I'm sure they see it all there. So,
I'm sure they did, but I was just like, I'm just a girl. So anyway, got checked in, showed them the photos of the plane and like told them what was going on. They're like, yeah, you're definitely having an allergic reaction. So I luckily did not have to stay for very long because they just gave me steroids and we're like, you need to go to a specialist. So I should probably do that before my next flight.
How long were you there for?
An hour. It was much quicker than your situation.
I was there for like 5 hours.
I hate that for you. Anyway, let's talk about much more fun things.
Let's talk about Emo's Not Dead Cruise. I've had this shirt for a long time. I just wanted to wear something that was on theme.
Obsessed with it.
Love. I had such a good time, all things aside. We had no idea what to expect, mm-mm, obviously, because for one, we'd never been on a cruise. So like, didn't even know what to expect from like arriving at the cruise ship, boarding. We were like, how do you cruise?
How to cruise.
How to cruise.
WebMD had no answers on that.
What do you wear? What if there's inclement weather? Or like, what do the rooms look like? None of that. So we were just like blindly in the blind, but like truly was so much fun.
It was the most fun I've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. And overall, the experience was amazing. It's like there's so many different things to cover about it. But I will say, committing to 5 days of emo music on a boat is very different than us just going to like emo night, which is one night, which our bodies already feel wrecked over. I have the most insane bruises all over my legs and possibly shin splints from like trying to jump around and keep the energy going. So that was harder than I thought. And also, obviously, we were like boozing and whatever.
I don't have a problem committing to the music for 5 days. It's just the bed situation.
Oh, I'm talking about the physically. So yeah, let's talk about the beds.
The physicals is hard. Because, I mean, it's the same thing as like a festival, because it's like, you know, you want to do as much as possible and see as much as possible. I like that it is sort of like, you know, it's the same bands and they all play pretty much every day. So if you don't see a band their first time, you can see them again another time. And they almost play the same set. Some of them are playing acoustic set, some are not. I don't know. But, you know, there's not a ton of pressure to like go to every single thing, which I like that. So it wasn't like there was something new where you had to be up at dawn and awake all night. So it was it was more conducive to an older crowd in that sense, where it could be slightly more leisure. But this is what we didn't know,
right,
going into it. The beds on this cruise ship, we were so uncomfortable.
They were twin slabs of a suggestion of a feather.
They were lawn cushions.
The called up whatever mattress slumlord they got this from. They're like, hey, can we get the joints with the extra springs? Extra springs, as little padding as possible.
When I laid on my side, it hurt. When I laid on my stomach, it hurt. There was no position where it felt all right.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, I will say like the bathroom was great. We had a little balcony. The room itself was great.
Yeah.
It's just the bed blew. Not getting adequate rest or sleep really kind of killed.
Also nourishment. Because we were wondering the food and drink situation. So well,
we also didn't go to any of like their actual restaurants, because I wasn't sure if you had to make reservations or not. We also didn't want to be on any schedule.
Right.
So we were just going to like their like buffet essentially.
We're partially to blame, but let's talk about it. What do you think of the food, Katie?
I like the hot dogs.
Great glizzies.
The french fries were good. The soft serve was good.
Yeah, they did have a soft serve everything machine, which
else
was amazing.
Just, everything else was just kind of bland. I don't want to like, no offense.
No offense, but it was giving like old country buffet. I don't know if anyone's ever been to one of those, but it was just like, that's what mass quantities of food are like. So I'm not totally surprised, but I was hopeful because we heard mixed reviews. Like some people were like, cruise food's delicious. And some people were like, eh.
But were they talking about the restaurants that you go to? Because they had like a Mexican restaurant. They had a sushi restaurant. They had a steak restaurant. They had different restaurants that we just blew right past.
Completely blew past. So besides the food that was mid, the ship was huge, which was crazy. Like I didn't understand how big it was going to be.
It had a casino that we didn't really participate in.
We played like one slot and lost, and we're like, okay, we're done here.
But we knew where all the bars were,
which, you know, contributed to not only the fun but the pain that we experienced later on, I would say.
And we made friends with one of the like bartenders. He took good care of us.
He'd always like come find us in the crowd, like be a new, because you like gave him your key card that was like your credit card was hooked up to it, and he'd be like, this one's on me. And I was like, you just want us to have a good time.
And Dana finally fulfilled her greatest prophecy.
My lifelong dream of crowd surfing came true. Shout out to Michelle. She ever hears us. We met some also amazing, wonderful people on this cruise. Like everyone was so nice.
Everyone was so cool. I was like, you know, I had never like desired to go on a cruise. I was like, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that's like my scene. But this cruise appealed to me for multiple reasons. Emo music, love all the bands. And I'm like, I'm going to be amongst my people. You already have so much in common. And everyone was so freaking cool.
And when you go to emo night, that's how they are. So it's not surprising, right? Like they were wonderful. But yeah, you tell Michelle that you want to get something done, and she is just a mover and shaker. So I did it first at Under Oath, which was also, I haven't seen them in so long. Under Oath was amazing.
So good.
And they tossed us up, and I went belly down, which is not what you're supposed to be doing. The videos that Katie got of my limbs that no longer looked like they belonged or were attached to my body were just all going every direction. Like the captain was possibly using them to understand what, like, northeast, what are we doing? Was such a great time. But then by yellow card the next night, I had it down pat. It was so fun. Definitely got felt up, but it was just kind of like, you know, it's been a lonely season.
It's, you know, occupational hazard of being a crowd surfer.
I wasn't mad at the bruises. I mean, I bruise easily, but the bruises on my legs are definitely for that, because it's also like there were a couple times when I almost got dropped. We saw a girl who also told us that she had just had her gallbladder removed. 10 days prior.
Big concern. She had a black eye.
She had a black eye, and she was like, oh, I was crowd surfing. And I was like, didn't you just say you just had your gallbladder removed? And I was like, I don't know how like fundamental that is to the constitution of your body. But anyway, if she could do it, I could do it. I was like, no gallbladder. She's doing it. I have mine. Let's go. It was just so fun. Also, we've discussed in recent episodes our passion for thirst traps, and it had been a while, and I was like,
we trapped.
Let's fuck them up. We trapped.
We trapped on that beach, and it went on the main feed.
Yours looked amazing. We went for a little swim in the Bahamas, and then we came out, and I was like getting my Baywatch on with my plank body. And then I was like, you know what? SI reject. Let's go. That's the mood for the day. And Katie, you got the shots, but I'd like to say that I got yours as well. Well, now I think it's time. We've given you guys the background. So I think now it's time to talk about the more salacious parts of the cruise. AG1. I first gave AG1 a try because I was tired of taking so many supplements. Like, if you have to do that, you're not going to do it. And I wanted a single solution to support my entire body. I love that with just one delicious scoop of AG1, you're supporting gut health, immune health, and brain health. Also, if it tastes like lawn, you're not going to do it. And it really is easy peasy.
I think it's delicious. I have felt so much more energized throughout the day since implementing AG1 into my daily routine. With AG1, I know I'm covering my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients.
Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also incredibly simple. Don't you just feel, it's like that Seth Rogen meme, like when you like eat a salad and you just feel so luxurious. Just one scoop once a day and you can mix it in your water or a smoothie. I have a smoothie in the morning, every morning for breakfast, and I've been adding it in. It just gives a little flair.
What I like to do is add a scoop to a smoothie or to like an ice cold glass of water. AG1 is a supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a new partner.
When my sister was in town this weekend, she was like, why do you have so much of this? And I was like, buy it and go home and you're going to have just as much. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2 and 5. Free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/disrespectfully.
That's drinkag1.com/disrespectfully. Check it out. Support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane.
Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through. Their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before.
Think minimalistic and effortless, but totally refined. From luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too.
As a limited time for our listeners, you get 15% off your first order. Go to jennykane.com and use code disrespectfully15 to get 15% off. I'm truly so obsessed with Jenny Kane. I love their cashmere sweaters. My sister, who normally thinks I dressed like a trash can, was like, what is this? This is gorgeous. I need. And I was like, oh, it's my Jenny Kane.
Yeah, it's like when I take off like my like band hoodies or like my normal like zip hoodies, I put on my like fancy Jenny Kane hoodie. Mm-hmm. So I feel like an elevated queen.
I obviously chronically live in leggings. It just like makes everything just a little bit more buttoned up and pulled together and totally. Less goblin lifestyle.
I can go out to dinner in it and not feel like I'm slumming. Mm-hmm. With me, it's always another day, another cardigan, if you know what I mean. And that's why I love the mohair boyfriend cardigan, because you can dress it up or down and really wear it anywhere.
I could truly live in my Jenny Kane Marina sweatshirt and sweatpants. They also have shoes. Like, we can't forget the shoes. No. The kitten heel is officially back, and she's been back. We love that it is. I'm obsessed with the modern suede take. I personally love the Blake boot.
And you can't forget their home essentials, furniture pieces, cozy pillows and throws, perfectly curated decor, and the most incredible candles.
Jenny Kane has an incredible rewards program where you can earn up to 10% back with every single purchase, and joining is completely free.
Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code disrespectfully15 at checkout.
That's 15% off your first order at jennykayne.com. Promo code DISRESPECTFULLY15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. You made a joke on the way back about that you did not have your rose moment. Rose to whippicator.
No, nobody asked me to go bang in a what is that like part of the ship where the cars all go,
possibly floor 5, but we I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody asked me to do that. No one says when the ship docks, I'm getting off with you. Nobody fell in love with me. No, I didn't have that moment. No one rose to advocated me. And you know what? It's fine. It's okay. I did have some flirts, you know?
You had multiple flirts.
Multiple?
Whatever the fuck is he?
Okay.
Him and, well...
He does not... Okay, well, you know what? I was nervous about seeing him. I'll say that much. And then he actually, when he mentioned that he's like, listened to this podcast, I was like, first of all, I don't
he
think
he listens to the podcast.
Well, he said, nice shot. He's like, yeah, it's pretty good. I was like, you're not listening to this podcast. Well, if you're listening to this podcast right now,
then let's talk about him.
I'm going to quiz you. But I was a little nervous about that one because I hadn't talked to him in like literal months because I don't want to give too much context to this because I don't want to give too much attention to it.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it had been mentioned on this podcast.
There was a person
before
that I knew was going to be there. And I didn't even tell him I was going to be there. And then he noticed on my story that I was packing and he asked if I was going to be there. And I was like, God damn it. We had talked for some time and then he like stopped talking to me for like a really long time. And then it came back around and then, you know, just it just wasn't right. I was a little hurt. I was a lot hurt. But, you know, I'm not it's like impossible for me to like be mean to this person or like hate this person or whatever.
So I think you handled yourself well because I don't like to be around anyone, even if I'm the one who ended it with someone. I don't like to be around anyone that I've ever dated in any way. Like I'm very like, you don't exist. So we were trapped in the open sea with an open wound. Well, it's like closed up, but it is a former open wound. So like.
Yeah, but it's almost like he didn't want to acknowledge that there was a wound to begin with.
Why would he? It doesn't seem like he has those emotional.
Exactly.
Capabilities.
Exactly.
Right?
So
EQ. You handle it like a champ. So, and you look super fucking hot, which is helpful. I met someone, which very much was not expecting that to happen. We met on the first night and we just like started chatting at a bar and he was like, well, I'm actually, you know, I came alone. And so I was just like looking to make friends. So I want to say hi.
Which is such a bold move.
Such a brave thing to do. But I'm like, now, you know, emo's so niche. If you don't have any friends that are into it, like I was when I was talking to Raleigh about it, I was like, I would never make you go on an emo cruise because you would be absolutely miserable. Like if you don't like the bands, you're going to not have a good time. So I didn't really think anything of it. I mean, when you saw him, we both kind of looked at each other and were like, he's handsome. Second day, we had like seen him out. We were having a good time, kind of hung out with him on the beach. And then that night we like went to a few shows and this girl came up to us and was like, you guys are the cutest couple on this boat. Like, I'm obsessed with you. And she had taken a photo of us like from behind. Like, I was just standing in front of him. Nothing was happening. And I was like, oh, no, we're just friends, whatever. Anyway, then we made out and one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, it was a love boat. It was just like a nice surprise because like the place I am in my life in general is just not at all is seeking that. And that I really mean that genuinely because I'm just doing so well. I'm good. So unless something like really blows me out of the water, I'm just kind of whatever about it. So long story short, he lives on the East Coast, which is a challenge. And I'm really not interested in doing long distance, but he is coming to visit me this weekend.
Hell yeah.
So
that's what we love to see.
We'll see about that. But I'm sure he's going to listen because I told him we were talking about
effort,
this cruise, and that's
initiative.
All
that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
So was not on my bingo card for the cruise. No, I mean, I was hoping for crowd surfing, but it also was like, could happen, could not happen. We don't know. So overall, 10 out of 10 experience.
I mean, I've met like some of the guys that were like playing in the bands and stuff before. And there's like such great people. So to like be around them all again was so much fun. And I was like, we could do this all the time.
Matt, who put it on, was so amazing for having us. And his wife is just like such a peach. I can't.
They're like two of the best people. Shout out to Matt. You fucking killed it.
You killed it. It was such a great event. And also all the bands, like seeing Yellow. I hadn't seen Yellow Card since I was like 14 years old. And like, Devil Wears Prada, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. What was your favorite?
Devil Wears Prada was definitely one of my top favorites. I'd never seen them before.
I hadn't either, I don't think.
So yeah, they were like really up there. They were really fucking incredible. I mean, I always love watching like Story of the Year and Senses Fail. They're just like fun acts to watch. I love getting to watch Matt's band perform.
It also had a surprising amount of like activities. There's like a tattoo artist and all these different things. They did like a Tonight Show version, like Matt hosted it and had different people from different bands, and it was so goddamn funny. Glad we went.
Yeah, no, we made like a lot of really great friends and friends we'll have for a long time. And emo cruise is just different because it's like it has the things going on that I'm interested in. One of my other favorite moments from like one of the sets was when Buddy from Senses Fail at the end of their set started throwing the amps off the stage. And then he went for the other one. And then the security came on. And then they threatened to put him in cruise jail.
The brig.
Cruise jail.
He almost went to the brig. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what cruise jail is called. It's called the brig.
Yeah, but then like the next day, or I don't know if it was earlier that day or the next day, they let him come and like, they let him honk the like horn and drive the ship. So I'm like, so you went from the captain to like almost captive? That's sure. Like pretty...
Also, to paint the picture, these amps were huge, huge. And he gets one, he throws it off. And I was like, is this, I thought it was a bit. Like
that he pushes it over and then he gets behind it and like he's CrossFits it off the stage.
Like those big tires.
And I'm just, yeah, I'm just like dying.
When it was happening, I thought it was part of the scheduled programming. Like it was just, but it was, no. He's just a frisky biscuit. Pushed that bad boy off, went to the other one, and this guy with a mustache who like looked exactly how you think someone would get mad about an amp being thrown off the stage looked like.
The best part is, but he's
a whistle,
like,
basically.
Oh yeah, Bob, the security guard, told me I should be in jail, and then he was went, sat down, and fell asleep.
Oh, that security guard, yes, he passed out after.
Oh my God. Speaking of the rose whippicator, how he loved leaning into the Titanic of it all. I mean, how could you not?
Right.
We had like a full like 20 minutes on our balcony of like My Heart Will Go On.
We were living our best life. We love this bit when you're trying to fall. Like people are like, hey, do you mind if I put on some white noise? It helps you fall asleep. And you like turn over and like put some psychotic song on. So me and Katie were doing that and she recorded me. And then I like turned over and blasted The Heart Will Go On. And we were absolutely fucking cackling. Mm-hmm. One of our best bits today. Also, I kind of almost had another Titanic moment when I was with that gentleman. He was like, oh, I want to show you, like, we're going to the front of the boat. And I'm like, am I about to, like, this thing with the arms? I was like, what's going
on? I'm flying, Jack.
And it was nighttime. So I was like, what are we really even going to see? So we're, like, going up. And then I turned the corner and I got pressure washed because someone was pressure washing the front of the boat. Like, I was like, okay, Instagram versus reality. This is expectations versus reality as well. So anyway, I got a little pressure washed. Also, my favorite fucking thing, which who knows why, someone put hundreds and hundreds of these tiny ducks. And I had one triceratops, which I found, all over the boat. And we don't know why. And we were, by we, I mean I, were collecting them. And I have like 30 tiny ducks at my house right now. And I was giving them out as if they were friendship bracelets toward the end. The people that I like. So if you got a duck for me, you got a duck, I fucks with you.
Well, you came back that last morning and you're like, look at what I, you're like, oh my God, I have the best thing to show you ever. And so I was like, oh my God, what does she got to show me? And you just like empty your pocket and it's full of like little tiny ducks. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, and then the last night, the last show, there was this security guard and he put, it's like an actual rubber ducky and it was a soccer ball one. It was on an amp. And I like ran, I mean, mind you, we were in the artist area, but security was like trying to block it off. And I ran past him and I jumped on the amp and grabbed it and started running away. And one of the security guards was like, hey, that's mine. And I was like, no. And then he found me later at one of the other like shows we went to and he asked me to give it back. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I will literally never. You can take this out of my cold, dead hands. I'm keeping
what
this.
Are you doing with all those?
I just love them. I like look at the Triceratops is near my computer right now and I just look at it.
You're like such not like a tchotchke gal. So like that's really surprising to
they
me.
Were just particularly so cute. I don't know if it was reminding me of like simpler days when we made a beaded geckos or whatever.
Yeah,
I do get attached to certain inanimate objects, like certain pens that I really love and whatever. So I don't know, but I just love them and they're so cute. And anyway, I think he was kind of trolling me because then he goes, put your hand out. And I thought he was gonna like high five me and he put a bunch of, because he had been collecting them too. So I liked, and then I almost gave him the duck because I was like, this is so sweet.
You
and he was
should like, have. He was like, oh, okay.
One of my best friends back home, Randy, collects rubber ducks. And so I'm going to give her the soccer ball one.
That last day when I just decided to switch to red wine because I was like, red wine will make my body feel good, which is a great idea, right? But the thing is, when I start drinking red wine, tequila at some point, like I kind of have to stop. Like it gets to the point where I'm like, I can't drink any more tequila.
Oh, if someone cut us, we would bleed tequila sodas. But I was like, I never want another tequila soda.
But
again.
Then I was drinking red wine and like I literally physically wouldn't stop. We were sitting at this like bar, the bar where that one nighttime party was happening mm-hmm. that I said I wouldn't go to. Mm-hmm. It started happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm still here. But I was like far, far in the back. So I was like, okay, well, like, I'm technically not here. Mm-hmm. I'm not there. Right. I'm like still here, but I'm not there. I had like two more glasses of wine there. I carried one of my glasses of wine up to the room with me. Which, I was, you know, when you're drinking so much wine that you can start to feel your hangover coming.
Yes.
When you're not even hungover yet. That's what was happening. But like, you know what? I couldn't feel my back hurting. couldn't feel my like legs hurting, my calf that was like a rock, couldn't feel that. You know, it just makes my body feel really good.
Well, I also switched wine out of necessity just because I could not have any more tequila sodas. And same thing, we were both quite hungover.
Did you know what wine makes me do? It makes me kind of like twerk. Really spicy. I don't know. I was either like trauma dumping or like getting really like sassy with people. So if you met me that day, I either trauma dumped on you.
I look at a bottle of wine and like, let's go back to 1998. Let me tell you where it all started. 100%.
So we had been hanging out with the guy, the other guy. And we went up to that Haven area, you know? Mm-hmm. And I went up to like the top deck and we were like taking pictures. There's a really beautiful sunset, the whole thing. He was like downstairs, whatever. I come downstairs. He's like, oh, I want to go up to look at the sunset. I'm like, well, we were just up there. You should have been up there with us. And then I was talking to these other two people who I just met for the first time. And they're like, oh, do you know that? And I was like, oh, I used to. Yeah, I used to. And they're like, oh, I'm like, oh, no. I was like, I don't want to talk about it. We don't have to talk about it. And then I was just like, but, you know, who wants to go look at the sunset? I'm like, you know what? I am the sunset. I'm the fucking sunset. And I like walked off.
I was trying to be better about taking videos. I literally have a video of you saying that I was just like taking a video in the room and that's what you're just like, I'm the fucking sunset.
And then I walked away. They're probably like, huh?
Put it on my tombstone. The bottle of wine is in the corner, like with its cap being like, sorry, it's me. Not her.
I'm the fucking sunset. I'm the fucking sunset. So I left.
It was great. 10 out of 10. So fun.
Music killed Kate, especially.
This is like super random. We should get into the basement and then WWDD. But really quickly, because so many people sent it to us and I just thought it was really funny. Someone got married wearing an Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, and no.
So many people sent it to us and we posted it. We're like, yeah, guys, we saw. And the wife's like face looks disgusted. I'm like, I'm telling you, that man walks out trying to do that. We are getting divorced. I once saw a huge photo. That was like all these guys, they were clearly like frat guys and this wife, and they had the big sign. They're like, we get married on a Friday because Saturdays are for the boys. And it was that is the kind of energy he was giving. I was like, I would have said no. I would have been like, bye.
But I was going to say like, oh, he's definitely like watching Brazzers.
He was like, he had the photo, he's like, and had his fingers up. I'm like, ma'am, why did you do that? You were saying you're not sure about the authenticity. I think it was real. I can't imagine any woman that would go along with that for clicks.
For her sake, I just wanted it to not be real.
A living, breathing nightmare.
For womankind, I wanted it to not be real.
He puts on the monster eyes. And he's like, in sickness and in health,
death do us part.
Yeah, that was really hard for me to watch. Really hard for me to see.
Okay, so who's in your basement, that guy?
No, I have a much better one in my basement this week.
Who?
I was just friendly ghosted. Mm. And I think we all know how I feel about younger men specifically. Like, it's just not really my thing. And I made that clear. So it was never that deep. We just like hung out for a few weeks and I gave it a chance, but really know where it was going. But we were talking constantly, 24/7, up into the boat. And then when we flew into Miami, the first night I said to you, I was like, I haven't heard from him. That's so weird. And then I did, but it was just like, hope your flight was good. And I, you know, women are just so intuitive, you know, and people, friends around me will always try and tell me that I'm not being ghosted, but I just know my bones. I'm like, yeah, no, I am. Here's the thing. It wasn't that deep. Me and him were never going to date, but we did have plans like coming back from this week. And I'm fine with it. Like, obviously, it all worked out how it's supposed to. But I'm sorry, friendly ghosts, every single fucking one of you get in my basement that has ever lived, that has ever done it to another person. I need a cemetery down there and goodbye. Like, be a grown up and just say, I no longer want to see you. To literally, it's different. We talked about this. Like, if it's a date, that's fine. One day, yeah, you don't owe anyone anything. But if you have been hanging out, going to dinner, partying on weekends, sleeping together, like something is owed. So friendly ghost of the week in my basement.
I don't really have anyone in my basement. I know.
I think your kidney infection should go in the basement.
Oh, yeah. My kidney can go in the basement. That could, my bladder and my kidney, my organs can all go in the fucking basement. You're failing me. I try to take care of you. Maybe it's because we didn't drink like water at all.
Oh, sink water.
the sink water on the cruise.
I'm in my own basement for making this decision. This is so true. Okay, so we landed, we're in the Miami airport. We fly in and I see this girl filling her water bottle and in bathroom sink. And I was like, I'm disgusted. That girl's drinking in a sink. Like, there must be water filling stations. Cut forward to night 3 on the cruise. I am parched. One night I set an alarm for an hour. I went to bed at 7 and I woke up at almost 10. And I was like, fuck, like I missed the night, but I'm also hungover. And I needed water so bad. But again, it's a big ship. So like the water filling area was so far away. And I was like, fuck it. And I just filled up a cup 1,000 times with cruise line sink water.
You didn't tell me you filled it up with that. How many?
Oh, I had 6 or 7 cups of sink water. And when I tell you, like, I am invincible. I glow at night. Not sure if that's ever going to go away. I dare COVID to try and infect me now. Like, I was like,
it's
like,
a good thing you're on steroids. Do you want some of my antibiotics?
No, I'm like, no man is ever going to hurt me again. I've had cruise line zinc water. You think you can hurt me? I drank out of a sink on a cruise. Okay. That is disgusting. I am so horrified that I did that. I was convinced I was going to get sick. I didn't.
Well, you counteracted it with the tequila, I think.
I did. But anyway, if anyone's out there and has any opinions, if you know, I almost googled, but I didn't because I didn't want to know. Like I had already drank it. So it was like, you were pretty disgusted at me when I told you that information.
Yeah. I just can't imagine that there's much of a filtration system on that.
No. Oh,
did it taste?
It tasted like desperate water. Like, you know how like there's like Fiji water and
Dasani. Dasani
it was
is
worse than Dasani. Ugh, no, but it was like, why didn't you desperate?
Why didn't you call the room service people and order?
I think it's before we got room service. I just didn't know. You did. The next morning, you got all those water bottles, and I was like, okay. So I had options. It would appear, but you know what? Stronger, better, faster, hotter. So that's that on that. I will say, when we walked into that bathroom on the first day before we had used the shower, I was like peeing, and I saw it. And I came out, and I was like, there is a Samara style, yes. 8 foot long, dark brown hair, like hanging from the thing you hold on to in the shower. So I drink water adjacent to that hair is all I have to say. But anyway, write in, let us know if that, I am completely fucked. Should we do WWDD?
Yeah, I guess we should.
I guess I'm in my own basement too, but.
Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is go-to for all things shapewear.
Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so that you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they won't ever roll down, no matter how much you groove on the dance floor.
Honeylove shapewear features lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off and is made with breathable fabric that keeps you nice and cool.
For a limited time only, you can get 20% off your entire order with the exclusive link honeylove.com/disrespectfully. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/disrespectfully.
I've truly always hated shapewear, I'm not gonna lie. And I used to dread like going to like fancy events because I would have to just like suffocate all night in some uncomfortable like random shapewear. But Honeylove has changed the game for me. It's not only way more comfortable, but I feel very confident wearing it.
Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is my go-to. It has targeted compression, so it will give you even more support where you want the extra sculpt without squeezing your natural curves. So it's really working with your body opposed to against it.
And another thing I hate is when it rolls down, when the shapewear rolls down. So all night you're like having to like pinch it up underneath your dress or over your dress. And it's just
hate, double hate, loathe entirely. Yeah.
Thanks to the flexible boning hidden inside the seams of the superpower short, you don't have to worry about them rolling down. And as an added bonus, boost bands on the back of the thigh give your booty in amazing shape.
The shorts are also 100% organic. You don't have to even wear underwear, and it's got an opening you know where, so you don't have to take them off when you have to pee. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/disrespectfully. Use our exclusive link and get 20% off. honeylove.com/disrespectfully.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Move with confidence thanks to Honeylove.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Melissa says, loving everything you are dishing out and look forward to hearing what you have to say every week. I've been on my own personal journey for a couple years now, reprogramming 40 years of beliefs that don't serve me, and I've reached the stage of anger about everything everyone has ever done to me. From being picked on in school, to friends' betrayal, relationships that tore me apart, it's spilling into everything, and the fact that things aren't the best in the world today, it's feeding it. Any advice on how to navigate through and let go of anger? Trying to live my best life, Melissa. I am a very angry elf by nature. It's like my baseline. So I have a good amount to say on this. One thing that I always personally try to live by, it's resentment is like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, one of the most difficult things I've had to deal with in my life is getting over certain people who have hurt me. And, you know, a lot of times it makes it feel even more difficult when people aren't sorry. And that's another layer to it. I'm not sure if she's experienced that. I'm guessing so. So I don't think there's any quick remedy. It's anger has been the most difficult. I've had a lot of sadness in my life, and anger is way harder to work through and move on from. And it's really easy to have a chip on your shoulder. But once you're free of it, it's like 1,000-pound weight.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone has different practices that best would suit them, whether it's like physical practices like exercise or meditative things like yoga, whatever you can do to kind of channel that to like get it out or out of you, or whether it's writing or whether it's creative or something.
Rage room.
I think some kind of like channeling it somehow, I think, is the best way to do it.
Remember when Regina George picked up rugby?
Yeah. Like, lacrosse.
Oh, lacrosse. Excuse me. Yeah. There's all kinds of options, but you just try and give yourself grace and do something to be proactive about it. And also if like, you've never done therapy and it would be helpful for you. My therapist has helped me a lot, and it's just much easier for yourself in life to, and also you will carry this shit over into other platonic relationships, romantic, other patterns if you don't let go of it. So,
yeah, I mean, I think therapy is a given, but I also think physical something like to channel, I don't know, because it's still going to be
faster.
It's like an energy that needs to go. Next one. Allie says, love the pod, and I know your perspectives are just what I need right now. My boyfriend broke up with me a week after we spent the holidays with his family on the East Coast for 10 days. The trip was amazing, and I thought it was a big step. But now I realize he was checked out the whole time. The week after the trip was our 2-year anniversary, where he dumped me after a nice night celebrating. How to start moving on? Well, that is quite the mindfuck. The best thing to do is not focus on, like, what you thought it was or what you thought this person was, and realize that they were not the one for you. I mean, if you can go and have this wonderful time and think it's this big, nice step, and then he can just like up and leave, I think he did you a favor.
Did you a big favor. Also, after we were just speaking on anger and like letting it go, woosah, fuck this guy, Allie, first of all.
Yeah.
It's also, anger is appropriate sometimes. Like, there are times for it. And when you're first moving through a grieving process, let yourself be mad at him. That is, I have been broken up with before when we had like, it was like a 3-year relationship, and it was like one of the best days we had had in a long time. And he unexpectedly broke up with me that night. And it's a really bad feeling because you're like, well, wait, things were so great. But I'm guessing if you look back overall, things were probably not great, and there probably were signs, and it'll make you better in the future for being able to, you know, maybe see some of that. But it is shitty when, yeah, you had a holiday, it's your anniversary, and he just dumps you unexpectedly.
Well, a lot of people will do this thing where, like, I mean, she's looking, the sign is that he was checked out, but, like, a lot of people will, like, wait till after a holiday or a trip or an anniversary because they don't want to, like, ruin those, like, moments or those times, or, like, they'll want to break up with somebody on a high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, a really messed up thing to do, but it's, like, in their mind, they think that's, like, letting someone down softly.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really not.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you'll be in your head about that, but how to start moving on, go through the grieving process. It's definitely going to be part of it.
Start focusing on yourself.
Start focusing on yourself. take the lessons that you need to and give yourself time before you start dating again. And like, don't just try to plug someone in. Like,
yeah, no, definitely. I would not say, you know, don't jump into something else. Yeah. You don't want to transfer that. But, you know, I would not dwell or try to like ruminate on this at all.
You know, 2 years is a long time. So I would also say you start healing by just literally getting up every day. Also, it's unfortunate, but like time really does heal all wounds. So it'll just keep getting easier. So please try and remember that when it sucks so bad and it really, really hurts, because those really, it just like can take you out. There will be a time that you're just going to wake up one day in a few months and be like, no, I'm good.
It does. It's like every day gets better.
But he's a real dick, Allie. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Justine says, big fan. Love your pod. I am not certain if this is the kind of story in question is applicable, but I really thought you guys would get a kick out of it. Poop in the hands. One time I was a few weeks into dating a guy. On a very late night, he started telling me how great I am, how great my friends are, and how he could see us going the distance, how he can see himself pooping in my hands. What? I said immediately, thinking I heard him wrong. I just think that we have a great connection, you know, and I can poop in your hands. No, I don't feel that way. I don't want you to poop in my hands. Will I be seeing you again? No, sorry. Mind you, I don't want to kink shame. We just didn't have the same kink language. I draw the line with excrements. Also, I was really not interested in that guy. This was just a nope for me. I ask you, what is your kink language and what is your nope? Cheers, Justine. P.S. Would love it if you did any listener write-in dating stories for the episodes. I have way too many to share. I would say, in addition to WWDD, if you have any stories you think we just need to hear, I think that would be a great addition.
Oh my God. Yeah, we'd love to read your stories.
Send us your disasters, anything you think is interesting, please do. Okay, well, I would say I don't want my hands to be pooped in either. So I think that that would be
I mean,
hard
if you're into
no
scat, go for it, but like not for me either. What is your kink language? I don't.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. And I'm also, I love that she doesn't want to kink shame, because I love that. Everyone does like different
for
things.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, you have to really love someone to let them just, you know, it's really dark stuff. I would just say that I speak several kink languages and I'm fluent. But I don't want to give TMI. Like, I have several kings, don't we all? Justine, like, I love the question, but I think that's where I'm going to have to leave it. What's yours? Unless there's anything you'd like to share.
If you're not sharing, I'm not sharing.
I mean, I'm like, I'm trying to think of one that's more innocent. That's like silly goose behavior.
What is your nope besides?
Okay, then
stuff?
Yeah, I would say I share in Justine's nope. That would be a nope. We have talked about this, how like there are certain, and this, not to generalize, is more with men. That you can tell watch like scary kind of violent porn, like people who act on that or like want like that's their kink, that would be a nope for me. And it's not saying there aren't times where I think it's like fun to be more rough or whatever, but like that needs to be a very consensual mutual
decision.
What do
you mean, like violent? Like,
yeah,
getting punched in the face?
Yeah, I'm like, that's not.
What about like slap?
Where?
Lightly on your face.
I mean, yeah, with the right person, I would say I'd be down with that, but not someone like.
What if someone spits in your mouth?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Could you have someone spit in your mouth?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'd spit in someone's
mouth.
Okay,
then that's what we're giving away.
Okay, that's okay. That's fair. So we'll go with spitting in the mouth.
I don't know what my nope, what a nope would be. I think anything that's like too corny or like too like tropey, I don't know.
Another nope of mine is people who try to fall asleep in the spooning position. That's a lot
less kinky.
That's a lot less kinky.
No, people that like ask like too many questions. Or,
I have
like,
a fucking sleeping disorder. Let's be realistic about this. I also have a king size bed. Please go to your area when we are. I'm like, good night. We're done with this. I can't do it. I don't know. That's some people's.
So far, I guess I haven't really encountered anything that was a big nope.
Same. Okay.
Would you ever let anyone pee on you?
Where? Like in the shower? Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Just in general.
That's not it.
Okay. Then you honey.
Would you? In the shower? Like it's like. People do that all the time for jellyfish stings.
No, this is because this is like something.
Well, no, I know that it's a kink, but like if you were stung by a jellyfish, would you let someone pee on you? Probably. And it's like the cleanest thing that comes out of the human body.
Okay. Anyways, moving on.
Fine. She stands
okay.
Alone.
Emily says, how do you know it's time to get a divorce? I feel like I'm losing myself to put someone else before myself, and my husband is not doing the same. When the highs are high, it's amazing, but I'm starting to feel lost and lonely. Help. I know that feeling. And like, listen, I know like marriage is work, but it shouldn't feel like this like grueling, like just tiresome work. It should feel like this like really great, like effortful, like wonderful thing that you guys are building together. It should be like this like choice that you're making every single day to love each other. But when you feel like you're the only one in it and you're putting some before you and that person doesn't choose you ever, that's like really disappointing. That's really a much, so much of a letdown. And that's when you start to look at yourself and you go, is this the life that I want? Is this the future I want? Is this the marriage that I want? Do I want to keep choosing somebody that never chooses me? And I think when you start asking yourself those questions and it starts to creep up, it doesn't usually stop. So I think, I mean, it's a really big decision to make, but for me, it's like, that it didn't really stop creeping up for me.
Of the people in my life that have gotten divorces, I don't know any of them that regret it. So it is a big decision to make. But like, if that continues to keep coming up for you, there's probably a reason. I actually just saw this TikTok trend recently where this girl was like, if you're a married couple, please stitch this, or you're part of a married couple, and say what you mean when you say marriage is supposed to be hard. And a bunch of people have stitched it, and they basically were saying, like, of course, any relationship takes work and effort, but it's not hard if you like each other. Like, you have to like each other. Life is hard. There's moments you move through that are different seasons that are going to be more stressful, obviously, and constrain a relationship. But if you are constantly feeling high highs and low lows and you're looking for more consistency and stability, then it might not be the right partner for you.
Yeah, because in order to keep your relationship solid and you're to have that bond go deeper with one another, you have to, like, that requires work on both ends. Mm-hmm. It's not just like something that just happens on its own. It's not just like a gift that's given. Love is not a noun, it's a verb. Something that you do.
That's so true. Also, if you are feeling this way, and like, doesn't mean you just have to give up one day and come home and be like, I want a divorce. I'm not sure if you've actually had these conversations with your partner, but also that's important, I think, to be able to like say, hey, this is where I'm getting. So this is what I need to happen, or I'm not going to be able to do this.
I would be curious to know if you've like kind of told them like where your head's at, because sometimes if they don't know, and if you've already kind of put it out there that like you're not happy and you want to see more action from them and you want to see them get involved, you know, I think you got to be vocal.
Pamela says, sex number. Is your sex number important? Specifically, is it anyone's business that you are dating? Why is it so important to some people?
Is there a mature?
This is a product of the patriarchy. It's so stupid. I mean, we've discussed this in terms of the way that for men, it's a positive thing. You know, you're looked at as a playboy and someone who knows how to get what they want and whatever, and it doesn't matter. No, and I don't know any woman that's in my life, at least, that's ever asked a partner, like, how many people have you slept with? And like, that thought has never occurred to me, whether it's been a man or a woman. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. What I care about is sexual health and like making sure that people are taking care of themselves and getting tested and whatever, like you're using protection. But like, other than that, not my business. It doesn't devalue you. It doesn't change you. It doesn't. Why it's important to some people, I think that also a lot of times men who it is important to want this trope of this, it's like the Madonna whore, like this virginal wife, but then they end up like cheating on their wives because they want someone who fulfills this like sexual part of them. So I don't know, ask these bozos.
I think it's a very like antiquated thing of like it being like they want something that's virginal and pure, that's like theirs, but yeah, then they want the other thing too.
They want someone that can sit on it and spin. I don't know. I just think that it's so stupid. But like we said, I've only had one person ask me that in like my adult life, and it was just like, excuse me.
I have never had anyone ask me. I would never say. I'd be like, that would be an ick or a red flag. I'd be like, nah.
That was one of the ones I looked back and I was like, what were you thinking? I shouldn't have continued seeing him. Like, why does it matter? But to each their own. And if that's something that makes you feel icky, if someone asks that or makes you feel some kind of way, please don't date them. It's also going to be an indication of many other toxic behaviors, I'm guessing. So
yeah,
if you don't mind and you're like, whatever that number may be and you feel comfortable and it makes you feel good, great. But if not, see ya.
Next.
Or say the number and be like, yes. And say that shit with your chest. I can't sing in normal life, my voice. Anyway, we should stop this immediately. I hope we don't have any more hospital visits before our next episode, but the week is young.
I hope we're on the mend onto healthier life now. Jesus.
Bon voyage, bitch.
Bon voyage.
Babe, you're going to see the power of women, like, disrespectfully.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.